But do not rejoice at your enemy's plight, and at his distress may your eye not be bright. Jehovah may see it and not be amused, and so may his wrath on your foe be diffused. That was our daily scripture from the Proverbs chapter 24, verses 17 and 18. For today, little children, from the Word Green Version 2004. And continuing our study of Trojan War, the article, chapter 9 is what we're beginning today, entitled Real, or Radiocarbon Egypt's Archaeometric Logic, with the theme scripture from James 1 and 12, Happy is the man that keeps on enduring trial, because on becoming approved he will receive the crown of life which Jehovah promised to those who continue loving him. That's from the 1984 translation, the New World Translation. Shaw's chronology from the year 2000 and our chronology differ. For the Egyptian kings, by 14 to 46 years, for the range in dynasties 18 through 21 of Manetho, from 1493 to 993 BCE in our chronology. Figure 8, 1, that's a typo, just noticed. It's a typo. It should say 9-1, I believe, isn't it? Or is it 8-1? 9-1, yeah. It should say 9-1. I'll make a note of that and correct it later. Shows the comparison for Shaw's chronology here. This figure 8-1, 9-1, actually. Now I'm starting to call it 8-1, but it's 9-1. Right here, shown in the article also, this is a blow-up of 8-1. It really is 8-1, but it's a blow-up of 8-1. So maybe I can clarify that. So it magnified this section of the graph so that you could see it better. And this is a graph I made in 2015 from the BG chronology of 2014. And you could see that was from probably from the B4 chronology from the History of Babylon article, but I'll have to check the date on the Babylon article also, which I haven't done recently, so I don't know what the year is on that. But I made a lot of articles in one single year sometimes back in those days. I mean, more than two, you know. So I thought the B4 article could even have been in the year 2015, but evidently not, because it says here it's from the year 2014, the chronology. So the BG is just another way of saying that that's our chronology. That's the Blessed Genealogy. So that's what that acronym is. And we see that we differ from Shaw by different amounts in different places, so that there are different adjustments for the different kings of Egypt. And they're color-coded here. The pink one is minus 46 for Amenemnisu, and because he's close to the time of Solomon, whose year was wrong by 46 years, as we've shown, compared to the conventional chronology. So Ramesses II, 36 years, Akhenaten, 20 years, and Thutmose III, 14-year adjustments. And the color-coding of the different that's remarkable, isn't it? The beauty of the colors, just so beautiful to see color. Oh, it's just magnificent, so pleasant. But using radiocarbon results of Bronk Ramsey, and we use the B4 chronology, right, from the History of Babylon. So I say it right in the paragraph. 2010 was the article by Bronk Ramsey in Science, Volume 328, page 1554. And this was the supplementary information also of this article by Bronk Ramsey, actually. That was from supplementary information, he gave the specific radiocarbon results in that supplementary to his article from 2010, which is the radiocarbon results for the dynastic Egypt. That was the title of his 2010 article. Maybe we can find the title of that article in here. Maybe you can look for the word dynastic, see if we can find it. Radiocarbon-based chronology for dynastic Egypt. That was the article that he wrote. That was, well, here's our figure, 8-1. So this is the original drawing, I guess you could call it a drawing. Graph, it's a graph. This is, was the original from which this section was magnified. So Thutmose the third is way in here, right? And then down to the time of Amenemope right here. So you see that? It's not a very big area on this graph. It's a very tiny area of the graph that we magnified. So in the supplementary information from that article by Bronk Ramsey, now that graph was something that we... Did we say where we got the graph from? Well, I had to build this graph from different pieces. I put together pieces, stitched them together, such as the Manning work on the dendro calibration curve in the upper left corner, which was in lime green color, the wiggly line there. And so, and all of it was put together. BTAC was the blue line in the center, the squiggly calibration, and Ramsey, Bronk Ramsey, did the 2010. The calibration curve for his work was right here, in the orange on the right lower portion. So I had to piece it all together. And but his points, the points are taken. All the points that are graphed here are taken from Ramsey 2010, unless indicated otherwise, such as Levy 2005 here, for the what's called the Mines of Solomon, Kerbet and Nahas, in Edom, essentially the south part of Israel, south of the Salt Sea, was where it was discovered that there was a huge copper mining operation around the time of Solomon, is when we find dates very close, very closely. And the big slag heaps, I was looking at the radiocarbon for the slag heaps that they found at that big copper mine in Kerbet and Nahas yesterday. I looked at the radiocarbon for the slag, and it dates exactly to the time of Solomon in our chronology. Using the radiocarbon dates to compare with our chronology, they're identical. So the big slag heaps would have been possibly when they built the temple at Jerusalem, is the implication that I take from that. So we finished all of chapter 8, which is a magnificently detailed archaeological study, was it not? And I gained many more new publications, and yesterday I downloaded 20 more publications just in one day alone yesterday, about radiocarbon and pottery and things to do with dating in the Levant, the different, particularly the Iron Age, is what we're interested in the time of Solomon. And Tel Rehov is the city, the start of which layer 6 indicates the Iron 1 to Iron 2, or Iron 1B to Iron 2A transition. It's right before, just before layer 6 at Tel Rehov, whereas on the other hand, at Megiddo, it appears that just what is it, the end of 6, the end of 6 at Megiddo appears to be, I wrote this down too, but it's so tricky. You have to review every time you talk about it. You have to review the papers again. It's just very close. I'm trying to think, is it 6A? Or is there a 6B at Megiddo? The end of 6, the end of, I believe it's the end of layer 6, exactly. That's the transition from iron 1B to iron 2A. The interesting, these are the time divisions. They're called chronological divisions of time. The Iron Age is one of those chronological divisions. And the only reason why there is such a thing as the Iron Age and the Bronze Age and so on, all those different time periods, is because those are not considered historical periods. Once the historical periods start around the time of, well, maybe even Nebuchadnezzar II, year 1604, that time period is the beginning of historical, or history, you know, historical period. Before that, it's considered as Iron Age, and before that, Bronze Age, and so on. So the corrected values I show in this graph are in color, and I put white in the back of the corrected values here. Now this time period of course, Thutmose the Third, 1493, year 1 in our chronology. That's a late Bronze 1. You would call that late Bronze 1. And we're coming down to the Iron Age when we are in, and we've just seen from the graph that was done yesterday. Do I still have it here? Yeah, right here. The graph that I did, I corrected this graph just yesterday because I noticed I had, when I was shifting it around to enlarge the margins of the graph, I had inadvertently, you know, shifted everything so that these lines were not correct. The horizontal lines that I had positioned there were not correct with regard to the end of Iron 1 and Shishak and mid-iron 2A. So I fixed that. So this graph is now showing 1065 average for the end of iron 1 and 865 average for the middle of iron 2A. And Shishak is now correct at 973 on the graph where I was intending to put him. 973 is our date for Shishak's invasion of Israel and the entire Levant. In fact, he invaded. So if that's the correct date, 973, which we believe it is based on the Bible and all the other supporting information from astronomy, and the list goes on and on and on. Pottery, what else is it supported by? There's even support in the language, in the study of typological studies, I believe it's called, where the study of lettering. The study of the style of letters used in writing can be used to get dates, and we've even included that in our analysis of these time periods, particularly once writing became more common in after the Phoenician alphabet came into existence, which it seems was even, and the old Arabic, Mr. Forster, I believe is the author's name who talked about that. But the ancient scripts that were really possibly even originally developed or promulgated by the Israelites, which became known as the Phoenician script, but may have been actually originated from the Jewish people, as talked about by Flinders Petrie, a very well-known Egyptologist who actually believed that. Once we had those scripts, then you can analyze dating based on the changing of the scripts, right? But that didn't begin until around the time of the Exodus, when the scripts actually first appear, or first can be approximately, as far as I'm aware, that's basically the first time they can be dated. But But of course, the dating's always in conflict between different people. Jesus said the truth will set you free. So where does the idea of being politically neutral enter into that? That's the question, right? Even to say to somebody, it's like moderation. You know, we were always taught everything in moderation. I was taught that by my parents. As a boy, I was told everything in moderation, and it wasn't until I became old enough to understand things better for myself that I realized that, wait, that doesn't that include moderation? So everything in moderation includes moderation in moderation. So it's the same thing with political neutrality. If you're saying, it's a very similar idea, if you say, well, we have to be politically neutral, well, that's a policy, isn't it? It's a policy to say that we must be politically neutral. And Jesus said the truth will set you free, which is not a policy. It's just a fact, right? The truth will set you free. It's not a policy. So, interesting. The corrected values we've shown here with the white background, because that, there it makes you easy. It makes it easier for you to see the movements of the points that were shifted. So the shifted, the point, the place from which it was shifted is shown just to the right of it, because all of our dates are shifted to the left compared to the dates that were. That's why they have a negative sign in front of the number there to show they were shifted to the left also. And so you see how in every case, virtually in every case, not perhaps in some of these lower ones here, but in almost every case, certainly for all the upper ones and for the majority of these points, shifting to the left improves the fit with the graph, with any straight line you would put that would be along that graph. So that's what happened. We ended up with a better straight line, and that's why we had a better chi-squared fit that showed an improvement of 29% over the previous line in the entire graph. This is just a portion of it. And that's the end of our study for this paragraph for today. Let's see. So yeah, we reported the improvement in figure 8.1 above in chapter 8. And it's because the points got shifted closer to the line. 14 years to the left for Thutmose the Third, and 46 to the left for Amenemope, and in between was a shift of somewhat in between those two values. The corrected values are in color, as I just mentioned, right? Oh yes, that's right. Oh, all the corrected values are color, but the original ones that were on, that were done using the chronology of Shaw, and they were modeled using the radiocarbon results, but it was done by Bronk Ramsey. All of that was done by Bronk Ramsey in 2010. He used Shaw's chronology to get these results that we show in black and white or just gray, whereas our results are shown shifted by the amount shown in white, and our corrected results are all the color results. And we show also on the graph the Trojan War that went from 1285 to 1275 BCE in our chronology. The yellow vertical line or rectangle, and another thing is the Battle of Megiddo we show on there, which is 1468 in our chronology, during the time of Thutmose the Third. Very interesting that we will be able to study that hopefully in the future. But do we have time to study paragraph 9.2? That's the question. I don't intend to. I think I want to spend the rest of our time today discussing much of the work I was doing, or the, all of the analysis I've been doing with regard to so much of this. Oh yes, I want to discuss the difference in radiocarbon for different areas. The Groningen results, I noticed, I looked up yesterday, but there's even an article in this 2005 publication by Levy and Higgum, 2005, The Bible and Radiocarbon Dating. In that publication, The Bible and Radiocarbon Dating, is this it here? There's the Groningen radiocarbon series, and the reason we used Groningen, that result from Groningen, which is a radiocarbon laboratory, when we wrote The Crucible Part 1, where we included this result here, 15.4, from the Rehov boundary between iron 1B and iron 2A, that was layer D3 and stratum 6. So just the beginning of stratum 6 is where that was. D3 is the youngest iron 1B. It was below, and stratum 6 was on top. It was the oldest from iron 2A, being the lowest level in the ground from iron 2A. And that's what we got. Look at that. 973 is very, very close to being what the average of this peak on the left is. Beautiful in our chronology, and we used that in the Crucible article, part one, at the end of part one. Now, the Groningen lab is interesting because the results from Groningen differ from the results of the other labs, and they all differ, all the different labs. But Tucson compared to Groningen, when we looked at, I think it's Chiron, I think we can show that in the article by Chiron, actually. Chiron, Ilan Chiron, 2007, report on the first stage of the Iron Age dating project in Israel, and I haven't yet determined the gender of the person Ilan Chiron. I don't believe, but anyway, perhaps I should know that. But let's just look here. Look at the results, though, of this work. We're going to get to some. Look at this. There's a big section where the results are all given in a big sequence of pages. Here they are. So, yeah, and you'll see the difference between Tucson, for example, and Rehovot. And in many cases, they don't differ by much or not at all, but they're always different because they have to retest at the different labs. They do their own testing, and that's why. Here's an example that those don't differ too much. But in some cases, you will see a 100-year difference. And there's even an article. Okay, yeah. I mean, there's definitely sometimes a huge difference between the labs. There's no question. There's Tucson and Groningen. Oh, yeah. Here, the Tucson number is higher than Groningen. But for this case, 2952 at Tucson compared to 2880 average for those two at Groningen. 60-year difference, right? So, I mean, there's difference. There are huge differences. It can be 100 years easily, but in the it even talks about the accuracy of radiocarbon in this book. Let's just look up the word accuracy. Maybe I can find it. Maybe I have to. Two C's in accuracy. Maybe I can't find it. Well, what was that? That was interesting. That's a sequence from where? Kerbet and Nahas. That's from Kerbet and Nahas, right. Yeah, and there are a number of dates there for the time of Solomon, around 1000 approximately. Look at this. This is Kerbet and Nahas, though. I want to find out the accuracy of radiocarbon. That section, there's a chapter on it. I think it's one of the later chapters in this book. That's the Groningen series, okay. This is okay. Let's see if we can go down. Let's tell Rehov. This book has a lot of interesting, valuable results here. Kerbet and Nahas, I think that is. And Tel Dor, all the results from Tel Dor for the identical pottery are lower in the BCE years, by maybe even 60 years lower. And that's not to do with the radiocarbon lab. That's just that Tel Dor, the site of Tel Dor, always produces later year results or lower numbers for the year. In the BCE years, and also that would be a lower number for the time before present also. But Tel Dan is very much, the city of Tel Dan, on the other hand, is very much in agreement with our chronology. Here there's a result that goes down in that particular case of that particular sample. Goes down to the year 10,000. To the year 1000, 1000, I guess you could call it, because we're always talking about 973, 1000, it's easier to say 1000, or it's easier not to have to say 1000 and then 900, because it's more of an adjustment mentally to have to make that change. But let's see, Tel Dan. I mean, when you're talking about so many different numbers, it just helps if you can simplify everything down into something simple. This book has, and I've just read almost the whole book last night. This is it's a phenomenal book. We couldn't get much information from the desert results, but trajectories. Okay, so it's prior to the, I have to go back. Let's look at the table of contents. I'm pretty sure it's in here. Quality control. It was the chapter before the Groningen. Chapter 14, page 256. I believe that's what that is. Okay. 256. The quality control. On 256, let's see who authors that. It's written by Vanderplicht, who works with Bruins, and they do radiocarbon. So, the quality control of the Groningen results from Tel Rehov. This is a very important article because it shows that when you, I did read this, but I read a lot of things yesterday, so I'm not sure I'll be able to find anything here. Look at this, 975 to 955 BCE wiggle, he mentions. So important in the Iron Age. That's something that stood out in my mind yesterday, because our date 973 is in that wiggle, and it makes it harder to get dates that are in that wiggle too. But there's a wiggle in the dendrograph, which is the calibration where they do the radiocarbon for old trees that are old enough to be in that time period. Now, intercomparison, he says here, page 260, is a major part of quality assurance. In an intercomparison, the same samples are dated by different laboratories. This may involve either samples of known age or blind samples. Thus, a laboratory can quote-unquote check its performance. Okay, so look at this, yeah. So they did a subset also of testing with very high precision laboratories such as Seattle, Belfast, Heidelberg, and Groningen, and Pretoria and Tucson. Groningen and Tucson are called conventional laboratories. Okay, so I mean, now when he says, what's the difference, right? I think he mentions it probably at the very beginning of the quality control issues. Yeah, true point dates cannot be achieved with carbon-14 dating, as there will always be a standard deviation. And we've also already noted that 68.4% of all results for a normal distribution fall within one standard deviation of the mean or average. There's also the effect of old wood. So if a beam was installed many years earlier and you're dating it from a certain layer, which is from a later time period but uses the old beam in their structure, you're going to get an older date for that context because of the old wood. So that's another effect. There are many problems with radiocarbon, right? And they use Telrehove as a standard for the high chronology, which is because it agrees with the dates at many other places too, but it's supportive of the higher chronology, which is actually, as we've found, very much similar to ours, except when they date everything 40 years, 50 years lower, when they're dating Shishak later, it leads to everything that they're doing. They look at a different layer and say that's the one Shishak destroyed, whereas in our case, we're right on the boundary between iron 1 and iron 2. That's where Shishak is in our case, not so in the other conventional chronologies. But yeah, there can be huge differences between the labs, like up to 100 years or more. That's it for today. It's August 4th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 21:16 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green. Thank you for listening and watching once again, and I love you very much. And in my behalf, this is Liv Dusty. This is Cassie saying bye for now, and we've been studying Chapter 9, Paragraph 1 of Trojan War today. The beginning of Chapter 9, which is called Radiocarbon Egypt's Archaeometric Logic.